Hey, John, I noticed my banner's not up. Rising up to build. After church, can we get that up or sometime? Acts 4:12 says there's no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. That's Jesus Christ. No one can save you other than Jesus. But I'm not ashamed that I'm a Baptist. Being a Baptist don't get you to heaven. Only Jesus does. But I'm going to tell you something. Names mean something. That dog that came after me yesterday, he was a Doberman Pinscher. They named him because they like to bite. We used to raise Labrador Retrievers. They like to retrieve ducks. And I'm not ashamed that I'm not taking our name off. When you say Baptist, they say, oh boy, those are hellfire preachers and that's eternal life security and all kinds of stuff like that. And yeah, that's what it is. That's what we're called. Amen. And Jesus founded the church, and I believe we're the church he founded. And but I'm going to tell you right now, no church gets you to heaven. And I like that song. I like that. Well, that'll be a good song to keep singing in the future. Hebrews chapter 11, making the right choices in life, John, titled the message, making the right choices in life. Boy, it's great to see each one of you. Good, Belinda, it's good to see your mom and dad there. Tommy, it's good to see you. God bless you. And just great to see you. And it's good to see our friends. They brought some of our guests have brought visitors with them today. We're glad for that. We hope you feel a real warm welcome at Bethel Baptist and keep right on coming back. It's a church that loves God, and I'm proud of this church. It's real that people really care about one another. There's no big I's, no big U's, just all a bunch of us working together for Christ. Amen. And let's stand for the reading of God's Word. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. Tonight I'm going to preach a little fiery message tonight. We're going to be preaching on the flames and fire from heaven. You ever notice about the flames and fire from heaven? How they came down? I'll be preaching about that tonight. I'll be talking a little bit about it with Moses today. But I'll be focusing all tonight on the flames and fire from heaven. And I hope you can come back at 6 o'clock. Notice in verse 23 through verse 27. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to... Now, we're talking about making choices in life. And this is probably my text verse. Notice, choosing. And by the way, our life, young people, is filled with choices. Choices you make today are going to affect your future tomorrow. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures and sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured. Boy, I like that. Amen. Moses endured. How did he endure? Some of you are going through all kinds of stress and problems and pressures. We live in this most stressful time. I don't think this country's ever had more stress, more trials than we're in 2008 right now than we've ever had in the past. And seeing him who is invisible. You want to make it through these stressful days? Know God. Amen. Know God. Be still and know God. See him who's invisible. He'll get you through it. He'll help you endure. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for bringing all the people. I really believe you put this in my heart to preach. I pray I can be a blessing to every young person, every old person, every single, married, every couple here, every person here. Lord, I just pray that the words I say would be Holy Spirit of God, you'd go up and down the aisles of this church and the pews, and you would work in everyone's heart. Draw them close to you, I pray, and give them victory for what they need in today's battles. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Did you ever notice our lives are constantly and continuously filled with choices? We need to make the right choices. Choices make a difference and affect our lives. You know, I mentioned this. The choices you make today are going to reshape your future tomorrow's. Young people, what you do today is going to be shaping what happens to you tomorrow. Adults, what you do today, with Christ, will affect you not just today, but it'll affect your eternity. Amen? Our choices can affect our lives in a positive way or a negative way. And, sometimes people want to blame God. We get in a fix or we have troubles. I've never been in all kinds of troubles and say, oh man, I don't know how we're going to make it. Hello, anyone like that? And sometimes we blame God. But if you really look back on the choices you made prior to that fix, you brought those problems on by the choices you made prior. See, every one of those choices you make in life affects what yesterday's choices are today's either blessings or problems. What I chose to do yesterday will affect tomorrow's situations. Are you with me? And so making choices in life, they're continuous. They're always present in our life. But we need to make the right choices in life. Amen? Let me give you, we're planning on taking a vacation in October. We haven't taken one, but we're hoping to get away for a while and go to Naples, Florida in October. Amen? I'm not sure we're going to get to go there, but we're planning on that. And you know, when we go, how many of you have taken a trip? Okay. And I was going to bring with me, and I ran out the door. I had everything else. I had 25 things to bring over here today. Whenever I take a trip, do you know what I take with me besides my King James Bible? I take a road atlas. I take a road atlas because that road atlas is a map that shows me the right roads to take. Are you still with me? You see, get this, and we're planning a vacation, and we got to get a road atlas to show the map to see which roads we should take to get to the desired destination. You know, we all have a desired destination. And by the way, those roads, if I don't take the right roads, I won't go to the desired destination. So it matters what road I take. It matters what route I choose. It's important that I look at the map and see the proper road to take. Some roads are dead ends. Some roads lead us to another destination that we wouldn't want to go at all. I sure wouldn't want to end up in Quebec if I'm wanting to go to Naples. Hello? Besides that, I don't speak French. Oui, oui, monsieur. Some roads, by the way, Kenny, will never allow us to go where we want to go, no matter what we try. If I want to go south, Tom, and I take a road going east or west, I'm either going to end up at the Atlantic Ocean or the Pacific Ocean, but I sure didn't get down to the Gulf of Mexico. Am I making sense to anybody yet? Some roads will be huge detours for us. Some of those decisions you make in life are huge detours for you. Some roads will take all my time and all my money and still not give me what I wanted. So we're to travel. When we travel, we're to make the right choices with the roadmap. By the way, you better have a roadmap that you can trust.
Amen.
Which leads me, Brother Mark, you know God's got a Bible for our map, roadmap of life.
Yes,
say this with me. God's Bible is my roadmap to life. If you want to find the right direction to go and the right place to go, you need to consult God's roadmap, and that's his King James Bible.
Amen.
It's a Bible that will give you truth you can count on. It's a Bible that you can really trust to take you to the right direction that you want to go. Now, notice in Hebrews 11:23, are you still open there? I wrote three or four things down. Number one, all choices in life are not easy. All choices in life are not easy. Look at verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. What was that commandment, preacher? Well, the commandment was to kill their child. The moment he was born, they wanted to kill him. But you know what? Think with me. Even though they were commanded by Pharaoh to kill their son, they refused to kill their son. And by the way, they put their life in jeopardy because they refused to kill their son. Because it was a commandment from Pharaoh himself. But they put the sanctity of Moses' life first. Can you imagine? Think with me. What a great choice that was. Look up here. You read about Moses all through the scriptures. Freddie, think about it. If Moses' mom and dad would have killed Moses at birth, how would that affected the nation of Israel and the people of Israel? Moses was their deliverer. Moses was the one that took them out of Egypt. Moses was the one that led them on. Moses was God's leader. Moses is the one that God used to take him to the promised land. Oh, I know Joshua led him there, but Moses got him there. Man, can you imagine if they would have never had the man Moses? If there ever was a good choice, that was a right choice to make. You know, I wonder, Moses, how many believe Moses played a major role in the nation of Israel? If you don't, you better read your Bible. How many believe that was a right decision to make? You know, I wonder how many, I wonder how many Moses is we, since Roe versus Wade. We've killed over 40 million in the United States. We've killed over 40 million babies. I wonder how many Moseses we had. I wonder how many preachers we had. I wonder how many Sunday school teachers we lost out on. Doctors and scientists and dentists and preachers' wives and leaders and Christian teachers and deacons and bus workers and maybe a president, maybe some judge, maybe some senators, housewives, secretaries. Listen, we've lost over 40 million people and that God gave our country to help bless America. You young people, you listen to me. You ever become a child? You're not pregnant, you're a child.
Amen.
I was giving Brother Perry a lecture the other day in my house. Every preacher comes to me, I didn't do embarrass in front of you, but I get him at my home, I say, now I'm going to teach you something. Women are not pregnant. The word pregnant's not in the Bible. They tell you the reason that you say you're pregnant because they want to have you an abortion because you're terminating a pregnancy. But all through the scripture, the Bible says, with child. Mary was with child. Rachel was with child. Rebecca was with child. Hello? See, that's just not something in there that's living to when it comes out. It's a real child. You got a baby inside there.
Amen.
Life begins at conception.
Yes, sir.
And so there's a lot of people today in America, you young people, you listen to me, you might be challenged in the future, and you're going to have to make a choice. Do I keep this baby, or do I submit to the government to have an abortion? You let God be true.
Amen.
You have the baby. And by the way, you don't have sex till you get married.
Amen.
Then the baby will be in marriage.
Right.
A lot of times people have commit abortions because they have shame. But if you keep yourself clean and pure, you don't have to worry about that.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
America needs to get back to saying, hey, we're going to wait until we get married.
Amen.
You know, kids don't need to have to learn about all these classes and about sex in school. That'll be something they'll learn after they get married.
Amen.
Brother Mike, our kids are too filled with filth. No wonder they have so many problems.
Yes.
We need to get some kids back to innocency.
Yes.
Keep them away from the computer and the evil TV and all the junk that you're letting them fill your heart with. Amen?
Right.
Well, I'm glad, number one, Moses' mom and dad made the right choice. And I wonder, in the future, will you make the right choices about abortion, about life? You know, all choices in life are not easy. All choices in life are not easy, number one. But it's always right to make the right choice for life. Did you hear what I said? It's always right to make the right choice for life. Number two, boy, it's quiet in here. Boy, preacher, we don't hear that much. You stay around me, you'll hear it. Can you imagine if every preacher in America, I don't care what denomination, if they would preach against abortion? Abortion's murder. I used to be on the radio and I used to call doctors that did abortions murderers. They are. Any doctor that commits an abortion, they're a murderer. And I'll be honest with you, if you have a doctor that commits abortion, I'd try to find a doctor that didn't. Hello? You say, well, I wouldn't say that, preacher. Well, you don't have to. I said it for you. It's murder. Well, it's legal by law. It might be legal by law, but it's not in God's eyes. Murder's not legally in God's eyes. I'm glad. How many are glad Jesus was born and died for you?
Yeah.
Glad Jesus wasn't aborted.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have had a Savior.
Right.
I'm glad I wasn't aborted.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of hard choices in life, but it's always right to choose life. Number two, look at verse 24 and 25. It's very important to choose which side you'll take in life. Oh, I'm going to stick on this for a little bit, Mark. That song you sang was perfect. By faith, Moses, when he was come to the years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. You know, we need to take a stand. I'm not going to stand with the world.
Amen.
Egypt represents the world in the Bible.
Right.
Choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And by the way, it's only for a season. It is always very important to choose. Number two, it is very important to choose which side you'll take in life.
Amen.
Life is filled with choices. You need to decide and choose what side you're going to be on, either God's or the world's. You either choose to live for Christ or you choose to live for Satan or choose to live for the world, choose to live for yourself, but you got to choose for one of them. In Joshua 24:15, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve.
Yes.
The average Christian straddles the fence. The average Christian, they don't live separate lives. The average Christians are all compromisers.
Right.
Hello?
Amen.
You say, boy, that's pretty rough preaching. That's why you're in a Baptist church.
Right.
Separates us.
Yes.
We're not flim-flam. Hello? Well, I never heard stuff like this. Well, you ain't been in a Baptist church. If you're in a real church, you'll hear it.
Amen.
Can you imagine if America, all the preachers in America, would preach the scriptures?
Yes.
We'd have a whole lot better country, wouldn't we?
Yes.
It's not popular, but it's pure what God wants. Listen to me. Joshua, choose you this day whom you will serve. And he said, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Did you know something? You can't even tell the lost between the saved anymore. Is that guy a saved person or a lost person? I can't tell them apart. The Bible says, come up from among them, be separate, said the Lord. The Bible says we're different. The Bible says we're a peculiar people. The Bible says we ought to be, we're different. We should be different. Yes. People ought to know you're saved.
Amen.
If I would go to where you work, if I would go where you, your next door neighbor, if I would go to your school and say, hey, I know this certain person, would you say they're a Christian? Would they say, oh, yes, they've even told me about Jesus. Well, they'd say, that guy's a Christian? Well, he tells all the bad jokes. He tells more bad jokes than the other guys do. Hello?
Yeah.
It's quiet, isn't it?
Yeah.
I wrote this down. Some Christians live like the devil all week. Then they come to church on Sunday wearing a halo. Hey, look at me, preacher. I'm a little angel. By the way, none of us are. Can I say something? None of us are perfect. We all have got... This preacher included. I've got faults too. But I'm going to tell you one thing. We can strive to do right for God. Some Christians sell out their Christianity for money. Well, I do it, preacher, but it cost me too much money. And they sell their Christianity out for money. Later on, they're sorry they did it. But some Christians trade their Christianity in for worldly pleasure. Later on, though, they're sorry they did it. Some Christians never have sold out to God. You know what's sad? I've pastored for 30-some years. And I watch people, unfortunately, I've been blessed. You know, this year I'll have 18 years here at Bethel. Thought you'd get rid of me, but I'm sticking. August 26th, I came here, 1990, 18 years ago. And you know what blesses a preacher? Like when I saw these new members get in the choir, go out on visitation, and I mean, I love to see people get excited about serving God.
Yeah.
And I watch people's lives grow in grace, and then I watch other Christians, they come, they sit in a chair, and I'm glad for that. But wouldn't it be even more exciting as a pastor to see people grow and serve God with all their heart? You know the sad part? The average Christian, and some of you are here right now under my voice, you've never sold out to God. You listen, you're here this Sunday, you can't wait till I get done preaching. By the way, it's 16 minutes before 12, and don't creak your neck, I can tell you right now what it is. And you, some of you, though, have never sold out to God. You've played the religious game. I know you're saved. You come to church on Sunday morning. You know, you put your tithe in. Boy, that's all it needs. No, God wants you to give your life to Him.
Amen.
I wish some of you would say, man, you know what? I need to sell out. You've never made the... Oh, you made the decision to get saved. You made the decision to get in a good church. You made the decision to come at least once a week. But why don't you make a decision? Hey, with all the life I've got left, God, I'm going to serve you all the days of my life.
Amen.
Why don't you be like Isaiah? Here I am. Send me, Lord.
Amen.
Most Christians don't straddle the fence. Some of you don't even care about. You're so worried. Say, would that guy just shut up? I showed up. What more does he want? I just want you to get closer to God. I want you to know God more. I want you, Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly.
Amen.
Amen? Why don't you surrender? Listen, Moses gave up his fame. You realize what Moses gave up? He was famous. He gave up his fame, his fortune. Do you realize how much fortune he would have had if he stayed with Pharaoh? He was adopted into the family. Do you realize his future? He gave all that up for Christ. For the cause of Christ. Look at Hebrews 11:26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And how many see that? You know, I did put a notation here though. By the way, Moses, made some wrong decisions prior to this. Prior to this, Moses made some wrong decisions. He wasn't always making the right decisions. I want you to leave Hebrews and real quickly go to Exodus. Read with me Exodus chapter 3. I'm going to show you something about Moses. Tonight I'm going to preach you about that fire that he was around. Look at Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. Moses wasn't always sold out for God. He wasn't always sold out for God. Christians, we all make bad decisions. The trouble is, after you make a bad decision, don't keep making more bad decisions. After you make a bad decision, say, God, I was wrong. Help me make the right decisions and start going in the right direction. It's never too late to start turning to the right direction. Look at Moses, Exodus 3:1. Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. It's a trip when you read this. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. Are you with me? Did you notice something about Moses? He was keeping the flock of a Midian priest. The last time I knew, Brother Bobby, when I studied the scriptures, the Midianites and the Hittites and the Jebusites, they were all enemies of God. And here Moses is taking care of one of the priests, of the Midianite priests. He's taking care of his flock. Wow. Bad decision. To make it even worse, he marries his wife, his daughter. So now he's got he's working for a Midianite priest, which is the other. He actually marries the daughter of that priest and has children with him. Are you with me yet? Look at Genesis 2:22. Look up before you do it. Look up here. I want you to get this. Bill, Moses was content. He had a job. He had a wife. He had a child. And he was just content to do what he was just content just to do what he was doing. He wasn't serving God, but he was content. Look at verse 22 of chapter 2. And look, verse 21, 2:21 of Exodus. Moses was content. Did you see that? He was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah, his daughter. Let me see that. I'm in Exodus 2:21 and 22. Are you still with me? Amen. You know what? You know, Brother Jack. Here's the problem, Brother Jack. By the way, you like my Harley Davidson tie? He was content. Moses was a saved man. Before he got before the fires of God, Moses was content just to do nothing. And that's the average Christian. We're content just to know God and do nothing. Hello? The saddest thing you can ever see is when a Christian becomes content to do nothing for Christ. Do you know why? Do you know why he saved us? He saved us to serve him. Yes. I've got a purpose in life. I've got a purpose to glorify God in my life, to bring up my family the ways of God, to shape and try to form your life for Christ. Are you with me? I've got a purpose to tell people about Christ. Are you with me, church? What's your purpose in life? Are you just like Moses? Just content getting around? You're living? Yeah, you got a membership here. Good church. Funny preacher. Hello? God help us when we become content. Because contentment brings on complacency. When we get complacency, when we're satisfied with anything, that's sad. Hello? And then, not only was he content and complacent, he was confused. He was. Look at verse 22. And she bare him a son, He called his name Gershon, for he said, I'm a stranger in a strange land. That word Gershon, his son, means stranger. Moses said, man, I don't even know what, I'm so confused. Look up here. You got to get this with me. Moses knew, not only was he educated with the greatest educator of Egypt, and he was. Moses was a wise man. Look up here, kids. Moses was a very smart man. He had great wisdom. He was educated by the finest teachers in all Egypt. He knew I guarantee he could speak all kinds of languages. He knew all their false gods. But by the way, on counter to that, Betty, Moses also knew about the Hebrews. And he knew about the God of Abraham. Come here with me. I mean, look at this, Brother Coolidge. He's being taught this. I mean, whoa! Then he goes out, he runs from Pharaoh, and he hooks up with this Midian priest. And now he teaches him about his false gods. Are you with me? Or as you kids would say, duh. Think about it. Then he marries a lady. He really shouldn't have been with that man, that enemy. Married his daughter. Had a son. He said, man, I'm so confused. I'm in a place I shouldn't be. I'm with people I shouldn't be. Your name is Gershom. You're a stranger. We don't belong here. Yeah. We don't belong here. How many ever got in your life and say, man, you know what? I've been going places and doing things that I really don't belong. Hello? He was confused. By the way, you can get confused really when you get all the stuff. Listen, if you listen to all the news and all the liberal press and all the writing in the paper, you get confused real quick. Are you with me? Moses was confused. Some of you are going through life and maybe you're like Moses, you're content. Maybe you've become complacent. You're just happy the way things are. But maybe you're like Moses also. Maybe you're confused. Maybe you're searching for life, and you say, "Man, I really don't understand it all." But God, look at Exodus 3:2. God sent a flame, a fire. Oh, I'm going to preach on that tonight. Don't have enough time this morning. I'm going to bring a whole message on the flame of fire tonight. Do you ever notice all the flames of fire God has in the Bible? Now, we're not going to bring all of them tonight, but I'm going to show you a few of them. Notice that the angel of the Lord appeared on him in a flame of fire. And behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Look at verse 5. And he said, draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou standest is holy ground. Did you know what happened to Moses? Content Moses. Confused Moses. Compromising Moses. Compromising. Finally, Brother Mike, he got close to the fire and flame of God, and God warmed his soul. God moved his spirit for the things of God. See, Moses, you know what? That's what we need today. We need God's fire to come down on this church and warm our hearts, move our spirit towards Him and away from the world. Amen. Moses, you've made a lot of bad decisions. Moses, your heart's cold. You're indifferent. You're content, but you shouldn't be. You're in the world. You ought not be. Moses, I'm going to warm your heart. I'm going to thrill your soul. I'm going to bring you close to me again. Amen. And that's what we need. We need the fires of God to come down in this church. In my life, in your life. What we saw with Bob Grave was just a flickering. That Friday night, all those people praying with their children, praying everywhere, people crying out to God, people getting right. That was the flames of God. Wednesday night, brother, I hardly ever seen a Wednesday night. You had a 5-year-old boy
Lukey Ballard getting saved over his house, and an 83-year-old lady walking the aisle, and another two other in their 20s probably walking the aisle, and a man joined the church, because the warmth and the flames of God came down.
Yes.
That doesn't happen by accident. That's God.
Amen.
That's God moving people's hearts. Look up here. There's nothing I can say to make these kids want to love God. It's got to be God's Spirit to warm their heart. It's got to be God to get a hold of their heart. I want you, son. I want you. God, Randy, reached down and the fires of God warmed his soul and spirit of Moses. And Moses, oh God, I'll serve you. That's what we need today in Bethel Baptist Church. We need to feel the warmth and love and the power of God. And say, oh God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to serve you. I'm going to turn from this contentment. I'm going to turn from this confusion. And I'm going to serve you. You see, Moses, before he made the right decision to choose for God, he made a few wrong decisions. You might be here and you might have made a few wrong decisions, but today you could go towards Christ and say, I feel the warmth of God's fire. I'm going to make the right decision. Can anyone say amen? Some of you are going through your life and you're going to make the wrong choices, and at the end of your life you're going to say, boy, I wish I had. I wish I'm... Oh, I can see it. I've heard people... Oh, God, I made a mistake. How many times have we said that? Because we didn't make the right decision when we should have. Today, make the right choice to be on the Lord's side. I said, number one, all choices in life are not easy. Number two, it's very important to choose which side you're on while and will take in life as soon as possible. And finally, number three, right choices mean sacrifice. Number three, right choices mean sacrifice. And when you read Hebrews 11:27, it said Moses had to forsake Egypt. Egypt represents the world. I know there's a lot of things that glitter in the world, but everything that glitters is not beautiful. Moses had to sacrifice the pleasures of Egypt. You know, if you're going to make the right choice in life for Christ, you're going to need to be willing to give up the things of the world. Romans 12:1 says this, I beseech thee for our brethren by the mercies of God, that you present yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. In the Bible, and then the verse 2 goes, and be not conformed to this world, but have your mind transforming to what was the perfect will of God is. Trouble is, we don't want to sacrifice. We want God as our Savior. But we don't want to give. We don't want to. We don't. We want to have Christ, but we want to have the world at the same time. If you're going to serve God, you got to get rid of the world. It's either God or the world. Sad, most Christians choose the world. Moses chose the world for a while, but praise God, he made the right. The fires of God came and warmed his soul, and he made the right decision. The right decisions, right choices mean sacrifice. I say this and we'll close. Jesus, by the way, just like Moses led the Hebrews out of bondage in Egypt, I'm glad Jesus made the right choice for you and I. He chose to die for you and I on Calvary's cross. When you see Jesus dying on the cross from 9 in the morning to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you see Jesus suffering and agonizing and crying out, I thirst. Lord, I commit my spirit unto you. It is finished. 7 great sayings from the cross. When you see Christ crying out to God the Father, you see him. That was all by choice. The Bible says in Peter, it was made before the foundation of the world. Christ was preordained to go to Calvary before man was ever on earth. Before there was an earth. That'll blow your mind. But he chose. They looked in the future and they said, we're going to create man. They're going to fall. They're going to sin. They're going to need a redeemer. Someone's going to have to go.
in the Holy Trinity, I believe, said, Jesus said out of the Holy Trinity before the foundation, Father, send me. I'll go. I'm glad he loved us. The Bible says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be propitiation for our sins. And not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. But God commanded his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know the greatest thing that ever happened for your life and for my life, for Kenny's life? 2,000 years ago, Christ went to a place called Calvary, just outside of Jerusalem, a place they called Golgotha Hill, the skull. And there Christ suffered and died. Took all the sins of mankind, all of them. Every sin that I ever committed, Brother Carey, and everyone you and all the world, he took all the sins of all the world, and he took them in his body, and actually became our sacrifice. Isaiah 53:10 says, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He had put him to grief because he made his soul an offering for sin. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, he made in his soul an offering for sin so you could have eternal life. It's not being a Baptist, not getting baptized, not being a churchman, not being a good person. It's realizing that God sent his son. He loved you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes should not perish, but have everlasting life. God brought his son down to die for me, to die for you. I'm glad he chose to do that. And all you have to do is make a choice where you receive that free gift. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, Christ died for all people. God doesn't send one person to hell. I'll say this and we're going to go home. God doesn't send one person to hell. Never did. The Bible says in Matthew that the hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Christ died for all people. All they got to do is go to Jesus and have him be their Savior. It's that they reject him. See, salvation's free. It can't be worked for. You can't work. It's already been paid. Christ paid the debt. And all you got to do is receive it. If I wanted to give you let's just say these pills right here. These are little mints. I need one right now. My breath is like chicken feet right now, probably. Let's just say if you would take this little mint and I could give you and there was power, you could have everlasting life by taking this mint. It would only cost you $1 million. I guarantee you I'd find people in the world that would pay it. But the mint that Jesus gives is not $1 million. He gives eternal life and it's free. Amen. But see, the trouble is, here's how you got to take it.
That's right.
The gift doesn't do you any good unless you take it. Amen. How you take it, you get down and you say, Dear Jesus, I'm a lost sinner. I believe you died for my sins. Come into my heart and save my soul and take me to heaven when I die. And keep me from hell. I guarantee you, you come to Christ, trust in him, he'll save your soul. And I'm all done. That's a decision you have to make. See, the choice is yours. Two choices. The first choice is to trust him as Savior. Invite him. If he was knocking at your door, would you let him in? Today he's knocking. Some of you have never let him into your heart. You ought to let him in today. Second of all, Christian, you need to make a choice. Are you going to serve God after you know him as Savior, or are you going to serve the world? I pray today you'll make a choice to serve him and make the right decision. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray with all my heart that we would make right choices in life. Choices that would affect us for not just this life, but eternity. And Lord, I pray today people would make the right decisions, that they would see the hand of God, and that they would feel the fires of God, and Lord, that they would come to Christ as Savior. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed before we go home, how many could say, Pastor, I know for sure. I know for sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. I've asked Christ to get in my heart. I trust him as my Savior. Could you raise a hand? I know for sure I'm saved. I know I am. Thank you. May put him down. I wonder how many would be honest with themselves and honest with God. Preacher, I really don't know. I really don't know if I died, if I'd go to hell or heaven. I really don't know that. And I don't want to die and go to hell. And I'd sure like to know when I die, I'd go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Who'd say that? Just raise your hand. Yes, yes. Who else? Yes, who else? Preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. Pray for me. I'm not trying to make you a Baptist. Matter of fact, I won't even come to you. I just want to pray for you. Pastor, would you include me in that prayer? I'm not sure if I go. I don't know if I'm saved or not. I don't want to die without Christ. I'm not talking about being a Catholic or a Baptist or a Lutheran or a Methodist or any kind of religion. It's not religion. It's knowing Christ as Savior. Who'd say, pray for me? I'm not sure. Why, God's got a hold of your heart. Lift up your hand. Yes, sir. God bless you. I see that. Yes, sir. Who else? Take a man to do it. And then Christians, what kind of decisions have you been making lately? Are you sold out for God? Have you been making the right decisions? How many say, Preacher, I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of a little bit like Moses. I've been content. Maybe I'm confused, or maybe I've been complacent. God spoke to me. I felt some fire from God this morning. I need to get closer to God. Pray for me. Who'd say that? Yes, 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 yes. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. I see him. Wait, way back there. God bless. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I see you here in the front. God bless. Who else? Include me in that prayer. I need to get closer to God. Heavenly Father, I tried to bring the message that you put in my heart. Holy Spirit, it has to be you to convict all people. I'm just a messenger. You are the one that convicts. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that the Holy Spirit of God will convict and bring people to Christ. Convict Christians to come out of the world, to make the right choices in life, to serve, and to do what God would have them to do. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand. We'll sing a verse.